From somewhere in Northeast Indiana, Mike Davidson lives. And now your host of the podcast, Mike Davidson.
This is the Super Bowl for astronomy geeks and weathermen. And by Super Bowl, I mean not them actually playing it. It's just that they talk about it nonstop, like any sports pundit. Hell yes, Mr. Rob Roop. Thank you very much. To me, it's Mike. This is Mike Davidson Lives. Thank you for downloading, listening, and all that fun stuff for the next 30 minutes or so. Yeah, Eclipse 2024. Kind of a big deal, and at the same time, kind of annoying. Get to that here in just a few moments. It was a rough weekend for my oldest, Lana. A couple of reasons. One that's kind of silly, and one, well, kind of a facts of life type of thing. The silly one would be Saturday, where I work. They had an Easter egg hunt, right? And yeah, I know it's a week after Easter, but they did it. They put candy in the eggs, and the kids went off and had fun. Hazel was in the 5 and under group. Lana was in the 6 and over group, and Hazel had a haul. Lana had a pretty decent haul, but she was upset because she didn't get the golden egg. Right, there's like 5 golden eggs out of hundreds of eggs they had out in the field, right? And there were like 20 or so kids competing for this. So realistically speaking, the odds were not in her favor, and she was getting down on herself. And I had to tell her, look, I didn't take you out there to find a golden egg. I took you guys out here because I love you. I want you to have a good time. And she kind of reminds me of me at my. When I was a kid, because I would get down on myself about the silliest stuff, and I still do to an extent, but this, like I said, kind of silly, and I hope she looks back at it as kind of a silly thing to be upset about, because life's all about winning and losing. Now, earlier this evening, man, this is the serious one. This one really broke my heart. There was an email that went out to parents throughout the school district, and apparently a teacher that Lana had passed away. I think she was the music teacher at the school she attends, and of course Lana's just heartbroken. She's sad, and I think Hazel may have had this music teacher a couple times. I'm not sure how they do things in pre-K, but Lana definitely. And she was just upset, and I understand. And it's one of those hard things you have to learn, because when you're dealing with kids, you want them to just have the time of their lives, to be kids, to be young as long as they can. But real life will smack them in the face, and this was a hard one. One day everybody dies. But it does make me want to kind of eat a little better, take care of myself a little better, because I'm no spring chicken. I'm 44 years old, for crying out loud, and I kind of want to be there for as long as I can for my kids and be as active and dependable as I can. But sometimes things are just beyond our control. And again, she got better as the evening got on. Wore on, but she was just so heartbroken, and again, I get it. Something a little more lighthearted here, because I have an old college buddy, an old fraternity brother of mine. He called me up, and I meant to call him back this weekend. I need to like shoot him a text or something later this week, but he was kind of asking me as a consultant on a podcast. I don't know if I'm the best one to be consulting on anything, but his podcast has kind of a narrow focus. A lot of podcasts have narrow focuses, and it went from what he pitched me a while back, which would be just friends shooting the shit about various things, to now he wants to do a conspiracy theory type of podcast. And I don't know if on this, I mean, I can help him with the technical aspects and the, kind of the research aspects, but I'm not really a big conspiracy theory kind of guy. I have my own thoughts about things, but I'll straight up say, hey, look, this is me just doing conjecture. This is me hypothesizing. I really don't buy into a lot of big conspiracy theories. You know, the one I do kind of believe is that Epstein, well, he just had too many friends just to take his own life. And by friends, I'm air quoting the hell out of that. But he wants to do a podcast. I mean, I'll help him where I can. I don't know if I would be a good guest or co-host for that sort of thing. I personally don't see the harm in it. But then again, I have no problem with Joe Rogan doing what he does. And some people think he's an absolute menace. By the way, congratulations to South Carolina, the Lady Gamecocks. Lady Cox. They are now national champions for the third time in about, 5 years now? Yeah, they're doing something right down there. Finished the season undefeated. Kind of a tough thing for Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Lady Hawkeyes to overcome. I mean, she did very well. She had 30 points in that final game. But again, when you're going up against an undefeated team, and I guess it would shock a lot of people because everybody was talking about Caitlin Clark and, you know, LSU being the defending champs and all that. But the Gamecocks, again, Lady Cox, they have obtained that championship once again, and they were a dominant force, so hats off to them. Best team of the season, and Caitlin Clark, it doesn't matter what I believe, but I do think she is the best player in the women's college basketball, and she's probably going to make a splash in the WNBA, or if she decides to work for Ice Cube. Purdue, UConn, I'm recording this Sunday night and a Monday morning, so Monday night's the game, Huskies and Boilers. And, of course, they're going with a post 9 o'clock tip-off because, of course, nobody has to go to work Tuesday morning. Yikes. But I am pulling for the Boilermakers. I look at UConn, though, and I would have to think that they were the favorite. I mean, yeah, Zach Edey, National Player of the Year. And Purdue's got some pretty solid players on that team, but pretty inconsistent. I mean, the Boilers were pretty lucky to beat NC State the way they did with all the turnovers they had and missed shot opportunities. Edey is a difference maker, but if they're going to win, if they're going to pull off what I would consider the upset Monday night, they all have to play very well. And even then, that's going to be kind of touch and go. But that's why these games are played. We'll see what happens. My dad, a huge Boilermaker fan. He got his master's from Purdue University. Has watched the team for decades. Griped about both the football and men's team. regardless. But I think this is about as excited as he has been about Purdue since Drew Brees took the football team to the Rose Bowl. The last time Purdue was at a Final Four, I was 2 months old. So kind of a big deal. Of the four of us, my three siblings were not around yet when Purdue went to the Final Four last. So, yeah, big deal for my dad. And, hoping big things. But he's pretty elated about the whole thing. Okay, Eclipse Palooza 2024. Yeah, it's a big deal, but it's also not a big deal at the same time. I mean, this is, it's a big deal in that I think the last time it happened around here in Northeast Indiana was like in the 1800s, and then before that, the last time it happened was 951, the year 951 AD. Not a lot of folks around here back then. Total eclipse, this part of the country, I get, but a lot of people, especially news type people, are making a bigger deal about this than they need to. And we get like Fox Weather for free. It's one of the Samsung channels on our television. I'll look that up and, you know, kind of see what the weather is like across the country. And they have all their pundits out and about. They had, not only that, they have two reporters in my hometown of Indianapolis. They only had like one in Little Rock and one in Cleveland, I think. They had two reporters in Indianapolis, and they were both at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. IMS is a big facility, but it's not big enough for you guys to have two effing reporters there, okay? Send the other one to, like, Anderson or something and with a Kevlar vest. Make it interesting. But, yeah, they had two reporters in the same place. Like, what would one reporter tell you that the other reporter couldn't tell you from that locale? Bit of overkill. The thing will start happening around here, around 2 o'clock. The totality, the 100% blockage of the sun will happen at 3. And skies will be light again at 4 o'clock, give or take. That's how this whole thing is playing out. Looking forward to it. I'm going to try to step out from the job as it's happening, you know, and see for myself. No, I'm not going to look at the sky because I was already stupid once with the partial eclipse back in 2017, and that kind of hurt. Captain Kirk, by the way, will be in the Hoosier State. William Shatner's going to be down in Bloomington as this thing happens. He'll be at IU. And all I can say is, welcome, Captain James Tiberius Kirk. Somebody also pointed out on Facebook he's been here before, but was he here for an eclipse? A total eclipse? Okay, White House wants to have a time zone for the moon. Sounds kind of goofy, right? Because I always assumed that moon was on nighttime. But they're rationalizing here, and it kind of makes sense. You know, if we do go back to the moon, if we do have other countries vying to get to the moon, if we have private enterprise one day wanting to get to the moon, it would be best to coordinate as many of these space flights as possible. Okay, that's fine. I don't see that as a priority right now, though. Especially with so many people freaking out about the moon being in front of the sun for a couple of hours tomorrow. But it's kind of interesting how one administration can bring about Space Force and get laughed at, and the other one wants to give it a time zone, and nobody's batting an eye. And I'll let you read between the lines on that one. But yeah, I don't really have a problem with a time zone for the moon. Now, if we're talking about daylight savings time for the moon, that might be a little much. I don't know if everybody's still freaking out about this or not. The East Coast earthquake, New York City, which some people are trying to tie into the eclipse. And again, eclipse not flying over New York City, not the total eclipse. And that's days away. But this happened late last week, 4.8 magnitude in New Jersey, I think. Just a little later in the day, a 4.0 aftershock. And everybody was freaking the F out about it. And of course, the soil here, east of the Mississippi, a little more loose than, say, like the rocks out in San Andreas. So I guess you could feel the waves a little more. So a 4.8, a little scarier than it is out in California. California, they just kind of yawn and go, okay, I'm going back to bed. But to everybody else out east, they were just talking about it nonstop. I experienced like two earthquakes living in all places, Kokomo, Indiana, in about a 10-year span. And it was the talk of the town, but I don't think anybody in the East Coast talked about it as much as they do when shit happens there. And that's the most infuriating thing about, well, I wouldn't say it's the most infuriating thing about media, but because they are centered in New York, anytime something happens in New York, it's a big story. Some stories are understandably big, as we have seen in years past. But okay, you had a 4.8. Nobody else did. This isn't exactly the same thing as, like, say, a barge striking a bridge and making it collapse in Baltimore. I think that's a little more catastrophic than, say, oh, you spilled your Starbucks because of this earthquake. No, it's not the same thing. Quit talking about it. It's almost as obnoxious as eclipse coverage for some of these people. Okay, so what we got here? A Powerball. The dream is over. The $1.3 billion with a B damn dollar jackpot. Winning number was drawn over the weekend, even though they had some delays in the drawing. And somebody in Oregon done bought that ticket. So congrats. But I was thinking this the other day, and maybe it's because I'm not watching as much news coverage as I used to. I mean, I still turn on the 10 o'clock news, but I mean, there's other things going on. It used to be a big deal when the jackpot was hundreds of millions of dollars, right? It used to be a tremendous deal. And now you get these jackpots that go north of a billion. Okay, that used to be a big deal. But it just seemed like, okay, it's up to 1.3 billion, you know, go buy your tickets, whatever. You don't really see the lines at the gas station. And I guess there's a reason for that. New York Post here. People aren't as impressed. Now, this came out earlier in the week. But so they're talking about the Wednesday jackpot being $1 billion. They weren't as impressed with the Powerball drawing because the massive 10-digit jackpot has become all too common, with only about half as many people flocking to buy tickets as they did a couple years ago, according to experts and shop owners. It's known as jackpot fatigue. People are less excited over a large prize than they used to be because those big numbers are old news, says a professor of economics at the College of Holy Cross in Massachusetts. They realize it's going to be $1 billion over and over for three or four times a year, so you don't have to come, says Gautam Das, clerk at BP gas station in Queens. You can catch the next one, so no urgency, no big deal. Now, lotteries are more likely to hit $1 billion than they were a few years ago because the lottery system has been reconfigured to create lower odds, so your chances of winning are much less. A $1 increase in ticket prices and a spike in interest rates also makes the lottos, also called an annuity, the prize lotteries that advertise, much higher. They've made it harder to win, so it's more likely to roll over more times before someone wins. And with interest rates, you don't need to accumulate as much to reach $1 billion. Only half the number of people are buying tickets nationally for $1 billion jackpots than they were back in 2022. In October 2022, $1 billion Powerball drawing sold over 131 million tickets nationwide. With Wednesday, they're saying it was lucky to be over 70 million. So less than half the people are buying these jackpots because I think they're getting wise. And $1 billion isn't a big deal, and it's overhype, right? Now, you talk about the ticket increase and the fact that the interest, and of course, with taxes, they'll take more out. There's not as much excitement. And let's not forget another thing. The economy has not really been all that great to a lot of people. I mean, gas prices jumped the hell up here last week in the Midwest. You have inflation. You have people struggling to make ends meet, taking on multiple jobs. I mean, if you're highly reckless and irresponsible, sure, you go out and buy a buttload of Powerball tickets. But for a lot of people, they realize that daydreaming is just that, daydreaming. And they might as well use their money for other things. And that's why a lot of people are not as into the jackpot as they once were before. But it's $1 billion. Yeah, again, people are using common sense to stay away from that whole thing. And so you got to wonder about things like Powerball and Mega Millions. Can they sustain interest? It sounds like a silly thing to say, but I mean, they've overdone jackpots so much that it just kind of bleeds into the background. And there's a lot of people who are actually economically responsible within reason. Speaking of highly irresponsible, Southwest Airlines, I think this happened just Sunday. There was a flight, I think this was from Denver to Dallas. It had to make a U-turn because as it was flying, cover to one of its engines was flying off. And I was watching the video as this thing was returning to the runway. And you would swear that this was just a paper kite or something glued on top of the engine the way it was flying about. This is sheet metal. Sheet metal flying off a freaking airplane engine, the thing that keeps the damn thing in the air, just flapping around like paper. Could you imagine how dangerous that would be, even as it's landing, high rate of speed, that flying off and cutting somebody to ribbons? That didn't happen, fortunately. Nobody was hurt. This was a Boeing, by the way, and it's just kind of mind-numbing. The press release saying that the reason that this thing was flying off was because it was a mechanical failure. How? This thing should be bolted down. How is the entire cover coming off? I've never had that happen driving down the road. The hood of my engine just flies off and, you know, decapitates somebody. Never has happened in my life. But we're seeing more instances of such airplane failures. And, you know, that was a thing. You know, when I was a kid, if you flew, that was kind of a luxury. Now it's just like a big sky bus and whatever. We'll throw something together just to get you someplace cheaper. And if I'm going to do any extensive traveling in the continental United States, I'm probably going to stay in a vehicle. I don't care if it takes longer. I mean, granted, as of right now, your chances of being killed in a plane crash are much lower than an automobile. But if something goes wrong in your automobile, your chances of walking away from it are much greater than if something goes wrong in a plane. I'm just playing the odds with gravity here. Okay, that's not something I want to test out. Till planes get safer, I think I'm going to ground myself here. Okay. Excuse me, getting a little dry throat here. Diddy update. Yeah, he's, it's not looking good for him. But no charges have been filed against him lately. It's been kind of quiet since the feds raided his two houses on both coasts. And, you know, there's been some spottings of him, you know, riding a bike around his neighborhood or, you know, doing this, doing that. You know, trying to make it seem like everything's normal. But, of course, he's probably somebody used to the paparazzi following him around. But some interesting things have happened around him. One, his son is being sued for sexual assault. I think he's also named in the lawsuit. This happened a couple years ago. I do have this linked up on the Mike Davidson Facebook page. When it rains, it pours. I think this was filed just this past week. And if you're being sued, it's not the same as a criminal offense, obviously. But where there's smoke, you wonder what's on fire. And now there's a bodyguard out there alleging that the parties that Diddy had were pretty wild. And some of the celebrities, the politicians and whatnot that he would hang out with, he has records of them in compromising situations. He says he taped them, audio tape, videotape, and all this. This is an allegation, not necessarily a conspiracy. But hypothetically, and again, I'm telling you hypothetically, if this is true, again, the Epstein stuff, how is that beyond the pale? This is a story that bears watching. And again, maybe the feds find nothing, and there is nothing. Maybe. But I also would like to believe that the feds wouldn't just show up at a very, very influential and wealthy music mogul's house and just decide to make him look stupid. You know, but then again, feds, I get it. But not really looking too great for Diddy right now or his son. Okay, speaking of sons, nepotism, speaking about this real quickly, I don't want to make fun of the dude. His dad's kind of a D-bag. LeBron James' son, Bronny James, he was at USC. Everybody made a big deal about it because, well, you know his dad, right? Bronny, he only averaged like 5 or 6 points a game. That's not good in basketball. That's numbers you get for coming off the bench. Earlier this week, he declared for the transfer portal, and now he's declaring himself for the NBA draft. I don't know who would pick him. Okay, maybe the Lakers in the second round. If that happened, that would be laughable. But it's quite apparent that Bronny is not quite living up to his dad's image. And if he does get into the NBA, that is nepotism. And I'm sure, you know, LeBron has the general management's ear in the LA front office. Pete Rose Jr. comes to mind. Pete Rose, the great hitter for Major League Baseball. He broke Ty Cobb's record. His son got in the league and, of course, played for some of his dad's teams. But Pete Rose Jr. never became Pete Rose. There are instances where the son surpasses the father. Ken Griffey, great baseball player, but his son was an even better ball player. Archie Manning, great quarterback, but I would say Peyton and, yes, even Eli, better quarterbacks. I'm not seeing this with Bronny James. And somebody, he's just got an entourage at this point, and he's doing what his dad's telling him. You don't need to be at USC. I didn't go to college. You just need to jump in the NBA. You'll be fine. There has to be somebody. You pray that somebody would just get this kid's ear and bring him back down to earth just a little bit. I don't think that's going to happen. This could be a miracle of miracles right here. This may be the last time we ever say this. I ever say this. KISS has finally sold out. I think they're done touring for real because they just sold their entire music catalog for $300 million. A nice little payday at the end of the day. And, of course, they're touting the fact that they're going to have Avatar concerts. Basically, they're like the hologram, the touring holograms, only this will look like something out of a Dire Straits video from the 80s. I don't know. But, I mean, if they sell their catalog, one would have to think they are done finally touring. Finally done. Right? Right? Who knows? But I'm sure they'll still find a way to capitalize off the sale. And more power to them. You kind of wish that other bands would get the hint to kind of tap out Motley Crue. So we'll see. KISS might be done for good here. All right, Hollywood Reporter. This was linked up on the Mike Davidson Facebook page over the weekend. And they had this little piece about writers having a hard time finding jobs. What was it? Basically, all of these writing jobs that were out there 10 years ago no longer exists for television. I'm sure the writer's strike didn't help a whole hell of a lot. Netflix, Max, other streamers, you know, getting the ship right. Broadcast pipelines for Peacock, Hulu, and Paramount Plus are drying up. A decade ago, broadcasters, the big four, and possibly cable, they ordered as many as 98 pilots. Today, that number could be counted on one hand. There are so few shows that are still being greenlit. So few new pilots are being ordered and fewer spots in writers' rooms, said Shannon Corbeil, a finalist for Disney TV Writing Fellowship that was put on hold during the WGA strike. The staffing positions available are going to more seasoned writers, and pilots are being bought from proven writers. Oh my God, you mean writers' rooms are looking for experience now, and shows that are being picked up by showrunners that have done this before. Huh, that is basically how the marketplace is supposed to work, right? And that was a problem, like, just before the writer's strike and before people started realizing, hey, the streaming is expensive and we can't afford to see all these shows. There are so many shows on these streamers. So many shows being stretched out. And, of course, the writer's rooms for all of these shows were stretched very thin in terms of talent. Not as big a concentration as you would say like 30, 40 years ago when network TV ruled the world. And then, of course, you know, cable with The Sopranos, Breaking Bad, Mad Men, and other shows. They had their own great writers' rooms. Now, any show can happen. And when it doesn't get eyeballs and clicks and everything, well, people are going to lose their jobs. I don't see why this is a big shock at all. But very interesting that a lot of writers out in Hollywood don't quite get this. If you're not making something people watch, you're going to have a hard time finding work. It is a struggle. Okay, a couple of things to wrap up here before I leave. Porch Pirate in Sacramento, California. The guy he stole from was a little upset, but started laughing because The thing that was stolen from him was not expensive, but it was a delivery on his porch. This happened, I think this happened last week. And the doorbell cam shows that the porch pirate did this disguised as a trash bag. Like, the trash bag kept creeping up and up and up and then finally took the package. Yeah, it was a good thing that this homeowner was not home, because I don't know how you stay in character that long as a trash bag to steal one box. I would think that if this happened in a red state, somebody would be really testing that trash fire ban. You know, it's on my property. I can do what I want. Oh, and finally, yeah, this to look forward to. In the south and just west of us, Illinois, two broods of cicadas emerging at the same time. Man, with billions upon billions of insects in the air having sex with each other before they die. So, much like a lot of people are running out Airbnbs for the eclipse that's happening this week, and of course I'll talk more about that next podcast, there will be many people, of course, lined up renting out houses so they too can walk in the middle of a bunch of bugs having air sex. That's what's going to happen, right? That all said and done, I'm done. Till next time, stay fresh, Tuesday.
You've been listening to Mike Davidson Live. Be sure to check him out on social media. Like him at facebook.com/mdavidsonlives. Follow him on Twitter. Look for @DavidsonLives.